The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Thursday, August 18th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and just a day away from Seattle Hemp Fest. Oh, we're so excited. We will be there all 3 days at the Myrtle Edwards Park on the Sound there in Seattle, Washington, bringing to you as much live coverage as we can possibly get at our site, live.normal.org. We'll also be recording a lot of the speeches, panels, and bands for presentation later on Normal TV, which you can find at youtube.com/NATL Normal, and as well as on our blog at stash.normal.org. Also, follow me on Twitter, Radical Russ, for all of my twit pics and twit videos in real time as they're happening backstage and throughout the event there in Seattle, Washington. I am flying solo today. I got nobody in the studio, virtual or real or otherwise. They're all on their way to Seattle. We got Ganja John, Cannabis Cure, Wiz Calico, Rolla J, NorCal Perps. They're Red Eye Team 6 on the way up I-5, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a moment. Also, we want to remind you that today is our Groovin' Thursday. I'm a day off. It's Groovin' Thursday with Iration and their song Turn Around, brought to you by JohnDoeRadio.com. Then it's Legalization Week. We are rounding out Legalization Week out here in the West. We started with Oregon on Tuesday, talked to California. On Wednesday, talked to Colorado. Today, in honor of Hemp Fest, we go to Washington State. We'll be speaking with the American Civil Liberties Union of Washington's Allison Holcomb. She'll be talking about their proposals for the regulation of cannabis in Washington State. We'll also speak with Douglas Hyatt from the Normal Legal Committee and from Sensible Washington on their proposals to end marijuana prohibition in the Evergreen State. And staying with the Washington and Hemp Fest theme, at the end of the show, we'll be speaking with Vivian McPeak, the Executive Director of Seattle Hemp Fest, for a preview of all the speakers, politicians, and fantastic bands that will be there at the 20th anniversary 3-day event. But before we get to all of that, we start with our hemp headlines. I'll be bringing you the news today. We've got video from Michelle Bachmann on the campaign trail ignoring a medical marijuana question. We've got a story from New York City of a woman losing her kids over marijuana, and a protest from the New York City Council about the racial disparities in marijuana arrests in the Big Apple. Then, a Massachusetts company has unlocked the genetic code of marijuana. The Oregon State Police say the Oregon duck cited for speeding in a hotboxed car didn't get any special treatment. I've got a different opinion on that. The Normal Women's Alliance needs your help on a special poll about gender in the marijuana movement. And finally, my preview of the Seattle Hemp Fest taking place this weekend. For more information on Hemp Fest, make sure you log on to hempfest.org. Also, up at the Stash at stash.normal.org, I've made a nice 6-page document of all 3 days of Hemp Fest and highlighted all the Normal speakers that will be appearing there. I hope I see you there. Follow me on Twitter, and we're right back after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of Normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at seedlesssummertour.com. Slightly Stupid.
Go, we don't need no cocaine.
Revolution. Shwayze.
Buzzing all over me like she fell in love.
And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer, coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Crude Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry can't be with us today. I'm Radical Russ with your Normal News. We have video thanks to an activist with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Michelle Bachmann is a contender for the GOP nomination, very popular with the Tea Party crowd, and she was recently at a campaign event when our SSDP activist cornered her and asked her a question about medical marijuana.
Thank you so much. Thank you. 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 Thank you.
It was my capital picture I sent in and signed. Thanks.
Oh, you are so welcome.
I worked your daughter a little hard on that.
Thank you. We were happy, more than happy to do it. And thank you for your patience.
Would your administration recognize states' rights to medical marijuana? Would your administration recognize states' rights to medical marijuana?
God bless you. Yes, I do. Tell me.
Yeah, just like most politicians, she chooses to ignore the question of medical marijuana rather than give a response. And judging by President Obama's stammering the other day, perhaps she made the right choice. In other news, some sad news coming out of New York State. We've talked many times about New York State and specifically New York City being the marijuana arrest capital of the world. Between 40 and 50,000 adults arrested every year in New York City, making it the most likely place to get arrested of major cities in the world. And I cringe every time a prohibitionist says that we don't throw nonviolent marijuana offenders in prison. We do, actually. But what the prohibitionist will never acknowledge is that some of the horrible effects of a nonviolent marijuana offense have nothing to do with imprisonment, but the arrest, which is a public record and can affect job, housing, education assistance, and other areas of one's life forever. But as this story tells us, sometimes you don't even have to be arrested for your life to be turned upside down over marijuana. This from the New York Times. The police found about 10 grams of marijuana, or about a third of an ounce, when they searched Penelope Harris's apartment in the Bronx last year. The amount was below the legal threshold for even a misdemeanor, and prosecutors declined to charge her. But Ms. Harris, a mother whose son and niece were home when she was briefly in custody, could hardly rest easy. The police had reported her arrest to the state's child welfare hotline, and city caseworkers quickly arrived and took the children away. Her son, then 10, spent more than a week in foster care. Her niece, who was 8 and living with her as a foster child, was placed in another home and not returned by the foster care agency for more than a year. Ms. Harris, age 31, had to weather a lengthy child neglect inquiry, though she had no criminal record and had never before been investigated by the child welfare authorities, Ms. Harris and her lawyer said. Ms. Harris said, quote, "I felt like less of a parent, like I had failed my children. It tore me up." Now, I characterize one of the bedrock beliefs of the prohibitionists as, what about the children? You know, one of the strongest reasons why Americans can simultaneously think of the war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs as a failure, and simultaneously resist efforts to attempt a non-prohibition drug policy, is because they don't think of the issue rationally. It's an emotional issue. Every parent fears their child succumbing to drug abuse, and they still believe the gateway theory that marijuana leads to that outcome. But really, what about the children? Are the children, in this case, separated from their family for a week and a year, respectively, any better off? If the possession of 10 grams is not even enough to bother prosecuting, how dangerous can it really be to the children? This is an extrajudicial punishment by the Child Welfare Department that would never have occurred if Penelope Harris had a bottle of wine on the counter or a six-pack of beer in the fridge, which is roughly the equivalent personal use amount as the marijuana she possessed. Parenting should be judged by the actions of the parent and the evidence of the child's well-being. Nowhere in the Penelope Harris case do we see evidence of her being anything but a good parent. The children show no evidence of cannabis use, and nothing in the story suggests she kept the cannabis in a place where the children can access it. This, once again, just another way that marijuana consumers are deemed second-class citizens and have their rights torn apart in a war over a plant. Another story coming out of New York City, kind of a response to the previous story in a sense. New York City councilmen protest the racial disparity in marijuana arrests. Now, we've reported many times about this racial disparity in New York City, which leads the world in annual marijuana arrests. It's the cruelest tryst of criminal code that mostly black and Latino young people have to suffer through. Marijuana possession is decriminalized. It's only a ticket in New York, the state. But it's an arrestable misdemeanor to possess marijuana in public view, which the cops create by intimidating or forcing suspects into showing their marijuana. Now, a prominent group of New York City council members are demanding an end to the practice on the steps of City Hall. Again, from the New York Times. Criticizing the Bloomberg administration's aggressive pursuit of marijuana possession arrests as, quote, racially biased, end quote, and costly, a group of city council members gathered in front of City Hall on Wednesday to introduce a resolution aimed at curbing the practice. The council resolution, co-sponsored by Melissa Mark Viverito and G. Oliver Capel, expresses support for an effort among some state lawmakers to close that legal loophole by reclassifying the public display of small amounts of marijuana as a violation. Since 2002, more than 350,000 people have been arrested in New York City for having small amounts of marijuana. The Bloomberg administration has defended the policy, saying that marijuana arrests are an important tool in fighting drug markets and violence, and that changing the law would encourage public smoking. A spokesman said the Bloomberg administration had no comment on the resolution. Nearly 90% of those arrested in the city on charges of personal possession of marijuana are black or Latino, a fact that was repeatedly mentioned at Wednesday's news conference. Now, this racial disparity in the war on drugs has even brought the NAACP around to calling for an end to the war on drugs. Let's just hope that the solution isn't that we just racially balance the arrests for marijuana among whites, blacks, and Latinos, but that we end the arrests for marijuana for people of any color, period. In science news, we turn to the state of Massachusetts. Marijuana's genetic code mapped successfully by a Massachusetts company. This from CBS News. A small Massachusetts-based company says it has successfully sequenced a marijuana plant, paving the way for more research into the therapeutic effects of cannabis, including its potential for treating cancer and inflammatory diseases. Medicinal Genomics published the raw sequence strings at midnight. The company's findings have not yet undergone peer review. Medicinal Genomics put the data up on Amazon.com's EC2 cloud. The more than 131 billion bases of sequences, which is believed to constitute the largest known gene collection of the cannabis genome so far, will be made available to the scientific public sometime this fall. The breakthrough also raises the possibility that researchers will eventually be able to weed out, no pun intended, the psychoactive effects pot smoking has on people while enhancing the medicinal aspects of cannabis. Yeah, right. No pun intended. You mean the copywriters at CBS don't have a thesaurus? You mean the sentence that could have been able to isolate and remove the psychoactive effects, you didn't pick that when you pick weed out the psychoactive effects? Yeah, that was just accidental, I'm sure. Folks, this is that pharmaceuticalization of cannabis that I've been warning you about. Now, while it is desirable in some medical cases to remove the psychoactive effect of THC, I mean, there are some people that react badly to it. It's something that should remain a choice, not a requirement of cannabis medicine. That mild euphoria can be as medicinal for the mental health of people battling disabled conditions as the cannabinoids are for their physical health. And, you know, another thing that'll be kind of nice about this, you know, right now I could take a cheek swab of my dog and send it to a company that'll do DNA testing to figure out his exact breed. Won't it be great in the future when you get a pack of seeds or a clone plant, you could send a little bit off to get a sample for, you know, strain testing, and they could know exactly what the genetics of that plant would be? That's kind of exciting. But the other part that bothers me about this story is how they kind of imply that the psychoactive effects of cannabis, that it gets you high, is something that's stopping us from getting the cancer-solving properties and the anti-inflammatory properties to people. Doggone it, cancer patients, we'd really like to help you, but we just can't have you getting high. Story right here from my home state here in Oregon. We told you yesterday about the Oregon Ducks football players that got pulled over doing 118 on the freeway in a car that reeked of marijuana. So we get this just in from the Department of, from the Albany Democrat Herald. Oregon State Police maintain University of Oregon football players got no special treatment during a June 12th traffic stop for excessive speeding on Interstate 5 near Albany. OSP spokesman Lieutenant Greg Hastings said a number of factors go into any citation. Quote, issuing a citation of speed at 118 is more serious in terms of penalty, both in fines and potential impacts, than a careless driving citation. In terms of reckless driving, just speed alone is not the only factor that is considered. End quote. He said traffic and road conditions also play a part in the decision. Just because someone is speeding does not automatically mean they are being reckless, he said. Look, when I was 17, I spun a cookie going 25 miles an hour in an empty mall parking lot with the nearest obstacle easily 100 yards away. I was stone cold sober and got cited for reckless driving and spent 2 days in jail. Of course, on the other hand, I've never thrown a touchdown pass for a national champion runner-up football team. It is nice to know that driving 53 miles per hour over the speed limit in a hot-boxed car on the main north-south freeway in my home state is not necessarily reckless driving. This will make my trip to the Jefferson State Hemp Expo next weekend a whole lot quicker. Just kidding. Let's go back to the story. So that addresses the speed question. What about the burnt marijuana smell? Hastings, the Oregon State Police spokesman, said, quote, in that case, it would be expected the officer would inquire about that odor, which the trooper did. Remember, when he inquired about that odor, the passengers in the car admitted, quote, we smoked it all. So we have a driver going 118 miles per hour admitting to recent marijuana smoking in a car reeking of weed, and he got a ticket for speeding and driving on a suspended license and was let go on his merry way. Let's continue the story. The police spokesman said, the next step isn't always a search of the vehicle. Officer safety, lighting, and whether backup is available are factors. Quote, in some cases, the mere odor of marijuana isn't probable cause in and of itself. In other words, the trooper would need consent of the driver or for a judge to sign off on a warrant to search the vehicle. an odor of burnt marijuana may not necessarily be evidence a felony has occurred, end quote, which is possessing more than an ounce of marijuana. Hmm. So, Ganja John, Wiz Calico, and Cannabis Cure UK, they were detained in Southern Oregon by 5 police cars and had their car searched extensively with the threat of breaking their car windows if they did not comply for merely smelling like burnt marijuana while getting the munchies at a convenience store. In fact, the officer involved there said the smell of marijuana was enough probable cause that he didn't need the consent of the driver or for a judge to sign off on a warrant to search their vehicle, which they did quite extensively. Oh, but wait, I remember. Ganja John, Wiz Calico, and Cannabis Cure didn't return any interceptions for a national championship runner-up football team and aren't the cousins of any of the players. Woo! Running the ship by myself, it's a little difficult, but we're having a good time doing it. We'll see you in Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend. Gonna have a great time. Be right back after this with Coker Tunes.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
This is Normal Show Live.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at NORML.org.
Tokers. There's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Pop Pass Records!
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe Radio Show.
John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. Thank you very much to Normal Show Live and all the awesome listeners of the Normal Network for supporting us at the John Doe Radio Show. Fantastic new move to a great new studio that we're in. I hope that everybody is enjoying the sounds that are coming out of it and the increased interviews and people inside the studio. Going to be more and more coming your way as we grow. Good times today on Groovin' Thursday. Iration, one of the many great bands on Law Records. The Islands of Hawaii, not only the biggest influence on Iration's sound, they are home to all of its members. Iration, born from a love of all types of music and a desire to create something new. Elements of rock, reggae, pop, all mixed together with keyboard, synth, and melodic vocals, all create something truly unique. This song from Iration is called Turnaround. It's on Normal Show Live. If you get a chance, check out the John Doe Radio Show replay on the Normal Network, 7 o'clock Pacific Time, 8 o'clock Mountain. Huge thanks to everybody that has supported the Normal Network and has supported the John Doe Radio Show. I hope you continue to do so. Stand strong, stand tall. Thank you again. I am John Doe. Until we meet again, see ya.
I know to let it go. I treated you so badly. I'm changing my ways. Just give me one more chance. I'm missing your love badly. Dying inside. I got to let you know. 'Cause you were my heart. That door, I'm not letting this go. The chance can't let you go. I won't let you down. So won't you turn around? Can't let you go. I won't let you down. So won't you turn around?
Song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
All right, guys, here we go. We've got the top six answers on the board. Name something that gets passed around. Chris.
A joint.
A joint.
This is Normal Show Live, where a joint is always the right answer.
Now, Chris, I don't know what 100 people you thought we were talking to at some nice little mall across good old America, but I'm pretty sure the people didn't tell the survey people, hey, an illegal drug. Let's turn around and see how many weed heads are out there with Chris. A joint!
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, everyone, welcome back. We are concluding our legalization week here on Normal Show Live. On Monday, we addressed Oregon. On Tuesday, we took a look at California. On Wednesday, Colorado. And today, we go to the Evergreen State, Washington State. And you can get archives of these up on our blog at stash.normal.org. We've got them saved on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/radicalrus. And joining me here from Washington State, we've got two of the finest activists one could ask for in just one state. Allison Holcomb from the American Civil Liberties Union of Washington. She's on the line. Welcome, Allison.
Thanks, Russ.
Also joining us is attorney Douglas Hyatt from the Normal Legal Committee and Sensible Washington. Douglas, welcome back.
Glad to be here, Russ. Last but not least, huh?
You betcha. Well, I figured with HempFest coming up this weekend that we would profile Washington on the day before we head out to HempFest, and I understand both of you will be speaking there. When are you speaking, Doug?
I think I'm on a couple of times tomorrow on two different stages. I think I'm on the Hemposium stage sometime Saturday afternoon. I'm on the main stage, Jody Emery and I, right after Congressman Kucinich, right after 4:20 on main stage on Saturday.
And your Hemposium panel is Patients Out of Patients,
Sunday,
isn't it?
And Sunday I'll be around at the Sensible Washington booth, which is just north of main stage for anybody that wants to come by and chat.
Fantastic. And your panel on the Hemposium is Patients Out of Patients, right? Can you tell us about what that's going to be about?
Well, I think the title pretty much says it all, Russ. I think that medical marijuana patients in this state are just about at the end of their rope, so to speak, over the state of the state's laws. It's just a mess. It's a shambles. It's very unfortunate, and it leaves patients exposed to vulnerable and without safe access.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Allison Holcomb, you'll also be at the Seattle Hemp Fest, I understand?
That's right.
All right. And
I'll be...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think I'm speaking on the main stage tomorrow evening, and then I have a couple of slots on Saturday on the Seeley stage and McWilliam stage in the afternoon, and then a Hemposium panel on Sunday.
Excellent. I encourage everyone to check out those Hemposium panels. You'll learn more in 45 minutes than you could have ever imagined you'd know about cannabis law reform with some of the best activists out there. And Allison, this year we've got Congressman Kucinich, we've got Representative Goodman, Mary Lou Dickerson, Councilman Licata, we've got Mayor McGinn, is it? What do you think about all these politicians wanting to come out to the Seattle Hemp Fest?
It's absolutely fantastic. It's just a testament to how much hard work Washington grassroots activists have put in over decades, literally, to create this environment where folks from the mainstream, people that count on voters to get reelected to office, want to come to the Seattle Hemp Fest and go on record as believing that marijuana law reform needs to be discussed more openly and honestly. I think it's fantastic.
All right. Well, let's get to the subject of legalization or regulation or whatever it is we're calling it this week, where we don't lock people up for marijuana. Allison, can you tell us about your proposals with ACLU of Washington and how you would have an initiative for regulation of marijuana?
Sure. So the ACLU of Washington has loaned me, I'm still the drug policy director, but basically I've been turned into an in-kind contribution to a political action committee called New Approach to Washington. And that campaign filed an initiative at the end of June that is now number initiative 502, sponsored by former U.S. Attorney John McKay, Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes, Rick Steves, the two most recent presidents of the Washington State Bar Association, Professor Emeritus from the University of Washington, two public health physicians, and Representative Mary Lou Dickerson, who was the prime sponsor of House Bill 1550, which you may remember was the legalization bill that was before the state legislature this past session, and then also the previous House Bill 2401, which was the legalization measure that she introduced in 2010. We got our ballot title back from the State Attorney General's office at the end of July, and petitions hit the field at the beginning of August. So we are just now ramping up the petition, the signature gathering part of the campaign.
All right. And Doug Hyatt, you're working also on ending marijuana prohibition there in Washington State. Tell us about the efforts that you're involved with.
Well, I think, Russ, for the last 2 years, you know, Sensible Washington has run what we call, real reform, a legalization initiative that truly ends prohibition and legalizes marijuana. And we've tried to get it on the ballot directly in the signature gathering period that begins after you file at the start of the year in January. The last 2 years, we've tried, as an all grassroots, no paid signature gatherers effort, to get on the ballot, and we have not been able to get enough signatures, back in. We believe that we probably had enough signatures actually out in the field, but we just could not get some of them back in, and some of them wound up in the hands of paid gatherers who wouldn't, turn them over because we didn't have any money. But unfortunately, we just haven't been able to get on the ballot. With an all-volunteer effort, we're looking at filing again in January so that we can give voters a choice between gnaw and what we believe is a better way. We're looking to try and raise money. A problem gnaw doesn't have. We're looking to try and raise money this time to be able to use paid signature gatherers in that effort.
Okay, so for people that want to get involved and help out your efforts, Douglas, is there a website or phone or email that they should know?
Absolutely. You can find us at Sensible Washington, all one word, sensiblewashington.org, and you can find us at Seattle Hemp Fest. We have a booth there. We'll be just north of Main Page. We have a Facebook page as well, Sensible Washington. There's been a lot of response around the country to our initiative and to the template. That is basically a template for ending prohibition the same way that alcohol prohibition was ended. I understand there's a new series coming up, and Ken Burns, and I know Normal's involved in promoting a good look at that, at how prohibition ended, and that's where we took our inspiration, and that's how we do it, essentially, is by removing prohibition entirely.
Okay, and Allison Holcomb, I'm going to give you the chance also to contact information, websites, any places people can do more research on the new approach.
Absolutely. The website URL is newapproachwa.org. There's a link to it from my name and the speaker's lineup and the online Seattle Hemp Fest website. We also will have an ad in the program with one of these cool new smart tags that I finally learned about, so you can just kind of use your phone to figure out how to get there. So, newapproachwa.org.
All right. Now, as I've been doing these interviews and speaking with different activists from around the Western states, it seems to me that a pattern has kind of emerged beyond just everything now being sensible. But a pattern has emerged for me where it seems like there's two basic theories on this approach. One being, let's remove the criminal aspect of marijuana prohibition, but then however it's going to get regulated, that's up to the government. And the other approach being, no, let's remove the criminal thing and space out here exactly how it is going to be regulated so the government doesn't have a chance to set those laws. I want to give you both a chance to address that, starting with Allison. Do you see your initiative falling into one of those two camps?
Absolutely. We specifically drafted a proposal that not only removed certain activities from criminal penalties under Washington's law, but also created the regulatory system under which Washington businesses could be licensed to produce, process, and sale and retail marijuana to adults 21 and over. And basically, the approach is one that was set forth for us by our public opinion research, and just seeing that what Washington voters are comfortable with is having some sort of regulations, licenses, and especially the collection of taxes attached to legalizing marijuana and bringing it out of the black market.
And Doug, your response to the two camps idea, does your initiative fall in the other camp?
Well, you know, I think it does. I mean, I think there's a clear difference between what we're doing and what NAW is doing. You know, our approach, it really is to just plain remove marijuana from the list of controlled substances and remove all criminal penalties for adults 18 and over, and we don't affect the current driving laws, we don't affect the current juvenile laws, we don't do anything except remove marijuana from the list of controlled substances and subsequently all adult criminal and civil penalties. I think that is legalization. I don't think that what New Approach Washington is doing is legalization. I don't believe they legalize marijuana at all.
All right. I'll give Allison a chance to respond to that.
Well, I guess it depends on what you call legalization. What I can say is, I mean, I understand from his analysis where Douglas is coming from with his proposal. So what we've seen is that voters are just not ready to go that far. They want to know, you know, how is this going to work is the bottom line. And they're simply not ready yet for the idea that, well, we're just going to remove all of the current restrictions and allow people 18 and over to grow as much as they want, to sell it or deliver it to each other. You know, it may be a solution that sounds very simple and clean from a legal perspective, but unfortunately from the political perspective, it's simply not one that Washington voters are ready to pass.
Douglas, I'll give you a chance to address that, but I did want to bring up, you know, you mentioned for people 18 and older, and this may be one of the few initiatives I've heard that proposes that age rather than 21. Why 18, and do you fear any political fallout from that?
Well, first of all, let me correct a misstatement. Allison was saying this initiative allows people over 18 to grow and deliver it to people under 18, and that's simply not true. What we always said is that we need to do the prohibition and prohibition in a two-step process just like they did it with alcohol. There are legal reasons for that. New Approach Washington simply will not work. It's preemptable federally, and it will not survive a federal preemption attack. It also doesn't end the problem. It doesn't end prohibition, and it doesn't legalize. Saying that people won't do something is not a reason for doing something else. The fact that Washington voters may not be ready to go, first of all, I'm not sure that's true. Based on polling I've seen above 50% for outright legalization polled in this state. I think people are ready for outright legalization, and outright legalization means we as the people take the first step, remove the criminal penalties, then the legislature steps in and puts in a regulatory system. That way you've got the federal government trapped. They cannot preempt your initiative that just removes the state law. They could preempt your regulations, but it would be politically impossible for them to do so. Mm. That is the way the reform needs to go. That's the way alcohol reform worked. That's the way we did it in this state when we got rid of prohibition.
Right.
And, you know, that also just makes a clean slate for the legislature to write the regulations on. We also don't affect the driving laws. New Approach Washington, as part of their effort to get this thing passed, has included a horrible DUI provision that basically criminalizes patients. It creates a point that creates a 5 nanogram per milliliter limit for people 21 and over, but for people under 21, it's a zero tolerance test.
Hmm.
It's zero tolerance. You test for any amount between 16 and 21, and you get a DUI.
Hmm. Well, now, you know, Doug, I have to apologize. We're on a time constraint here, so I have to wrap up the interview. And Allison, I'm sorry I didn't have the time here for a response to that. This is something we could talk about for the whole show, but we've got Vivian McPeak holding on the line for the next interview. So I encourage people to check out the panels at the Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend. This will be a topic of discussion, I'm sure. And I encourage everyone to look at them yourself. Go and read the text here, newapproachwa.org for the ACLU proposal, the SensibleWashington.org for the proposal Doug's speaking about, and Allison Holcomb from ACLU of Washington and Douglas Hyatt from Sensible Washington. I appreciate you so much for giving light to this debate. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks a bunch, Rob.
All right, we'll see you guys in HempFest. And coming back, we'll speak with the executive director of Seattle HempFest, Vivian McPeak, right after these messages.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar.
You're listening to NORML Show Live.
Porque le falta marihuana que fumar.
You chimpin'.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that, but finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
NORML Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of aspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles on my head. I'm gonna leave this plastic place to your plastic beaveries. And travel to a better place. And travel to a better place. And travel to a better place instead.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At NORML, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are so excited to have, for our final interview leading up to Seattle Hemp Fest, the executive director of the world's largest continuously running political rally, Vivian McPeak in Seattle, Washington. Vivian, are you there?
My brother Russ, how are you?
I'm doing really good, and with a little more sleep than you're getting, I am certain.
I'm happy to be talking to you.
So glad to have you here.
I pulled my mobile command center over on the side of the road here just so I could have this conversation.
Oh, thank you so much for doing that, man. I know how busy you are. This year, Seattle Hemp Fest is 3 days rather than two. What's that been like for you and the core staff?
Well, it's been very challenging on some levels. We had a 4.5-5-month-long permit battle with the city this year that culminated in a successful lawsuit to get a permit. So that set us 5 months behind. And when you plan all year on something, 5 months is a big chunk to take out. But we came out of the whole thing with this third day, which we really need. We're pretty damn excited about it. We've got an incredible, I think we have the most impressive speaker lineup any pot rally in the history of humankind. Mm-hmm. We've got it going on. We got U.S. Congressman Dennis Kucinich. We got Seattle Mayor Mike McGinn, who confirmed yesterday. We have, board member Rick Steves, City Attorney Pete Holmes, State Representative Roger Goodman, State Representative Mary Dickerson, Seattle City Council Member Nick Licata, mm-hmm. and then a bunch, you know, every who's who in the national reform movement, Stephen D'Angelo and Jody Emery, you know, Alan St. Pierre. We got so many folks speaking, I can't even remember them all.
Yeah, the whole list is up there at hempfest.org. You can get the speaker schedule. I've also made a copy for Normal that has highlighted all the Normal activists that will be there. Keith Stropp, our founder, Alan St. Pierre, executive director, I'll be speaking. Miami Valley Normal's Tanya Davis will be out there. Washington Normal's Kevin Oliver is working there. Of course, great guys from the legal committee like Doug Hyatt, Jeff Stein. Really, if you are a cannabis activist, you need to make your way to Seattle Hemp Fest sometime in your life. You should do it every year. It's like a family reunion. And Vivian, the bands you've got this year, what a great lineup. Tell us what you got going on.
Well, we got Mo Thugs, that's got members, that's got Lazy Bone and the guys from Bone Thugs and Harmony. We've got the Cottonmouth Kings this year, which you're pretty excited about. We got Junior Toots, who's the son of Toots and the Maytals from Jamaica. We got the great Seattle Supersonic Soul Pimps from Seattle. there's got five stages of bands and music. There's so much going on that it's just incredible. We got a great, incredible country rock duo called Truba Duo coming all the way from Arkansas to play. We've got the Reflecticles coming from San Francisco. We've got people coming from all over the country.
Oh, yeah. I know Herb Thrasher from our show is looking forward to The Accused, and my brother...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot The Accused, the famous Northwest punk band.
Oh, yeah. And then my brother Josh Belville told me that Volophonics is a hip-happening band.
Who's that?
The Volophonics or Volophonics?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Looking forward to all of
those. Yeah, we got a great lineup. You know, I have to tell you, the vast majority of those bands are playing for free. Or for gas money.
Yeah.
Because this is just the biggest all-volunteer effort, I think, anywhere.
I think so, and it's such a success every year, and we have, you know, few, if any, incidents. I know every time I speak to the police that are working there, I ask them whether they'd rather be working HempFest or a game at Quest Field, and, you know, the answer is unanimous. They'd rather work HempFest. What does that say about the cannabis community?
Well, you know... Everybody that knows anything about the cannabis culture knows that it's one of the most peaceful, gentle, artistic, open-minded, accessible cultures on the planet. We're a threat to absolutely nothing and anybody except a bag of potato chips. And Seattle Hemp Fest is a testament to the fact that you can get a couple hundred thousand pot enthusiasts together, and everybody hangs out and has a great time. And historically, and I'm going to knock on wood here, historically we've never had a serious problem at Seattle Hemp Fest. This will be our 20th anniversary doing this. Yeah. And we're just really counting on our crowd and our audience to pull through for us once again and show that cannabis enthusiasts are responsible, are peaceful, just, you know, normal people.
Right on.
No pun intended on that normal people.
That's right on. We're speaking with Vivian McPeak, the executive director of Seattle Hemp Fest, taking place this weekend, August 19th, 20th, 21st at the Myrtle Edwards Park, between the Olympic Sculpture Park and the Centennial Park, 1.6 miles. Tons of stages, bands, people, vendors, everything you could want in a hemp festival and more. And Vivian, there's a VIP party on the Friday night. Of course, all the speakers are going to be there, or most of the speakers are going to be there. Can the public get into this VIP party? And if so, how?
we do have a very Irie person party for our VIPs, and that takes place on Friday night right after the event in a huge symposium tent. It's a members party. It's for VIPs and VIP members of our organization. You can go to our website and click on members. There's three different tiers. But the top tier VIPs, they get free access all the members get free access to our members events throughout the year, but at the VIP party, it's for our top echelon of membership. And there's a lot of cool perks in there. And, you know, the Cottonmouth Gamers are coming to come and hang out. We have some other surprises that I can't talk about, or I might jinx it. but we're pretty jazzed, and we're pretty excited about having a 3-day fest.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Now, for people that are coming to HempFest, if this is their first time, they don't know what to expect. Any safety tips or rules and regulations they need to know?
Yeah, you know, it's a peaceful event, and we allow no weapons, of course, no alcohol, We want people to know that this is the absolute last place to try to buy or sell pot or pop brownies or Rice Krispie treats or anything like that. You know, we're really asking people not to come down and commit felonies at our event. We've worked 20 years to create this environment of, I think, more freedom than you'll find in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And at least down there in the parks those days. And people should just know it's going to be hot. They want to stay hydrated and stuff like that. They want to pace themselves. And other than that, we want people to have a great time.
Okay, a couple of things I want to mention too. I want to reiterate what Viv says here about the pot brownies and the Rice Krispie treats and stuff like that. Don't be supporting that by buying them at the Hemp Fest either. You don't know who made that, where it came from, what's in it. You know, be smart about this, right?
You know, it's counterintuitive to people. They go, "What do you mean it's the Hemp Fest, man? How come I can't sell my pot brownies?" One thing, we've got 400 vendors that paid a significant amount of money to be there vending. We have to pay a $400,000 bill for a free event.
Yeah.
And we rely heavily on contributions. And if people are buying pot brownies, selling pot brownies, it's taking money out of us and out of the vendors that paid. But more importantly, the biggest thing that we see in our first aid tent is people that ate too much pot brownies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you ain't going to die, but they think they're dying.
Yeah.
They think they're going to die. And their heart's pounding and they're sweating. And, you know, you can smoke pot all day long and not get like that. But if you eat too much pot, it's a very uncomfortable experience.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's disrespectful to come and commit felonies at our sacred event.
Absolutely.
Russ, I want to add that it's an enhanced felony to... Some woman is trying to talk to me here. It's an enhanced felony to sell marijuana or marijuana-laced goods in the city parks.
Right.
And so we're asking people, you know, if you want to come and do an act of civil disobedience, and it's about bringing your own, man.
Yeah.
You know, selling stuff is not an act of civil disobedience.
Right, right. Okay, and
I need to get another hour of sleep, Russ.
I understand. One other couple of tips here, dogs and camping. Neither allowed?
Yes. Unfortunately, we can't allow pets of any kind. It's just so crowded and it's so hot. It's not the right environment. And overnight camping is prohibited in city parks. And you can't come down and just like pitch a tent, that kind of stuff, because people can't see past that.
Yeah.
And that's basically, you know, for the most part, that's the rules. And of course, the number one thing is that we keep Seattle HempFest a safe, peaceful, responsible free speech event.
Yeah, and of course, everybody, it's free to get in, but at the gate there as you're coming in, drop in a 20. It's worth $20 what you're going to see that day. And if you can't do that, drop in a 5. And if you can't do that, pick up some garbage. There's something you can do to make this event successful, happy, and functional. And Vivian, before I let you go, just want to ask, if people are coming up and it's maybe too late to get hotels or anything, are there like campgrounds in the area or anything that would help them out?
You know, people can go to hempfest.org, click on the attendee page. Not only does it list every hotel and motel in the city, it lists campgrounds. It gives a tremendous amount of resources for people that are coming in from out of town or out of state. And it's just always an honor, you know, to have you and the rest of the normal guys down there, you know, the long-standing, hardcore, heavy-hitter originals of the cannabis policy reform movement, man. Been here doing it longer than anybody else. And, you know, it's pretty amazing when you get to hang out and be friends and talk with guys that were your heroes when you were a kid.
Oh, you're telling me. I'm just amazed every time I'm in that that company. Doesn't even feel right for me to be there sometimes. Vivian McPeaks, Executive Director, Seattle Hemp Fest, doing amazing work out there for 20 years now. Check it out, hempfest.org.
And Viv, thanks, Russ.
I will see you tomorrow.
I'm going to try to make it.
All right.
Bye.
Hey folks, that's it for this week of Normal Show Live. We will be coming to you from the Seattle Hemp Fest. Check out live.normal.org all 3 days, and we'll bring you as much coverage as the wireless will allow. For Cannabis Carry, Ganja John, Wiz Khalifa, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.